I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why is it as soon as I get in front of a microphone, I feel like I have something in my throat? What kind of psychosomatic nonsense is that?
Right.
It is exactly psychosomatic nonsense.
All right. Kennedy, you're here?
I'm here.
All right, Annie.
Hi.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. Everybody, welcome to the Unfiltered After Show. Four subjects we discuss. And then we move on with our lives, and hopefully you enjoy it, and you'll leave us a like and a subscribe and a download and all that sort of stuff. And as always, Kennedy, you're first. What you got?
I don't know. So yesterday, you know, after all the emotion was gone, although it wasn't gone, it just kind of shifted into something else.
In case you don't know, there was an inauguration yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit of a thing.
And it hit me in a kind of way. And however, I was just feeling myself. And so,
yeah, I talked to you yesterday afternoon for about 15 minutes, and I called her on something, and then she's like, "So I'm gonna," and then she just went off on this thing. And I was like, "Wow!"
I just had so much in me.
Yeah,
you know, I was talking to him actually. That's what I'm gonna talk about, but about how, you know, watching The Second Gentleman doing what he does, and how it's so hard to find a man who will do that, who will stand behind a woman instead of in front of her.
Yes,
and how that has pretty much been my life story since forever. So anyway, I decided to go for a walk because, you know, I just wanted to get some energy out. I had energy for the first time in a long time. So I was like, I'll go for a walk. And so I had to put on a playlist of a friend of mine who's a DJ, and he has all these awesome playlists. And I just walked, and then I just realized I was dancing down the street. Like legit Carmen Diaz going up the hill from The Sweetest Thing, like that. And then I realized I kind of took a stop, you know, like take a video of it or whatever. And I'm right in front of a car that has people in it because, you know, people go there and just sit in their cars and look at the beach. And I'm like, don't care. And just kept walking. So here's the question. Am I empowered because I did this, or have I just gotten so old I don't give a shit anymore?
Empowered.
Absolutely.
I really, because I was wearing stuff that didn't match.
Right.
You know, wearing a knit hat and my Bernie Sanders jacket and, like, you know, the whole night.
How good does it feel to not give a fuck?
Were you feeding pigeons?
I was not.
Okay.
It would be seagulls out there, but no, I was not.
I feel like one of the things, not to get, like, super deep in meta, but, like, one of the things that I've, like, really tried to put in this year is, like, what you think other people are thinking of you, nobody cares. Nobody is thinking, like, negatively about, or that, wow, that lady's so weird for dancing.
Is that they were taping me and putting it on their Instagram laughing, which would be fine.
100%
Or, like,
they
saying,
were.
This woman is a vibe.
Every time time you're in traffic and you see someone singing.
Oh, that's me.
Are you so hyped?
Yeah.
I literally, like, we go back and forth. You know what I mean? Like, you're only improving people's day by doing stuff like that.
It's so weird that we feel like we have to look a certain way and be a certain way and don't, whatever, and I've just felt really happy yesterday, and I just felt like dancing. Yeah.
It's definitely a thing about, because you're so in your own head, and you're the center of your own universe. No one else is thinking about you that much.
Right. When you have the earphones in, and you really just are in your own world entirely.
Noise-canceling AirPods, girly girl. You're in
your own land.
I do complete drum solos when I'm running.
That's
because
what I'm saying.
I can't hear anything else.
I mean, it's bad when you're next to someone in a restaurant, and they're talking on the phone and don't realize it, but.
Right. You just lead such a different life.
Huh?
You just lead such a different life, being that you're single, and so you go and do so many of these things by yourself.
Yeah.
I would never do what you did, but I'm always with somebody.
You want to go for a walk by yourself?
I don't. No, it doesn't happen very often. No,
really?
There's always somebody around in my life.
Yeah.
So my son is always around, or my wife is always around, or now my dog's always around, or my mother-in-law is always around.
Walking the dog is a good excuse to get outside alone.
Yeah.
Sure. But so yeah, those things, like those opportunities, like you know, we played the audio of you yesterday by yourself watching the inauguration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your reaction to that. And I was sitting in my living room watching it with either my wife or my son. So my experience in watching it is completely different in that I'm talking to one of them about what we're seeing.
I mean,
that's why
I went out. I was kind of hoping to have maybe just someone sitting, you know, far away from me, but we could both, you know, look at each other and
do a little cheers.
Do a little nod and
want to share the
ahead.
Moment. That's
yeah. It didn't really work out that way, but it's fine.
Right.
I'm glad I went outside. I'm glad I didn't sit in my house.
You still were around other energy.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I was giving the energy.
Heck yeah, you were.
That's what the universe needs, Kennedy. If I saw a lady with red hair dancing down the street, I'd be like, get it.
Yes. Yes.
So silly. I literally, all my clothes didn't match. I was wearing socks that were different colors. Like, the whole thing. Because I just had gotten home and, like, changed out of clothes into comfy clothes.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, bitch? Go for a walk.
Have you seen the people on Wally Beach? You think anyone thinks that they're matching?
I think you fit in.
That's true.
That's what Wally
Beach is. You know what I have worn up and down Wally Beach? I'm not even going to tell you, but it's a scene.
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
All right, well, that's all I had, guys.
All right, so we didn't really get a chance to talk about this yesterday, but you know I'm a nerd for this kind of stuff. Yesterday was National DJ Day. And during the inauguration, Kennedy had kind of told us this thing was going to be happening with the virtual parade with DJ Cassidy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool, you know, that they have a DJ up there. And it's kind of interesting to me now because being a DJ has changed so much over the years from when I first got into it. When I was in the Army, I DJed barracks parties. That was kind of how I ended up a DJ. I bought like one turntable, one mixer, a cassette player. I bought it all at Radio Shack.
Oh, and, amazing.
And I would just kind of, it really wasn't, I didn't know I was DJing. I just wanted to play the music at the barracks parties. That's kind of how it started, right? And so, it was really all about getting a hold of the music because it was so hard to get music back then. It was expensive.
You had to go to the record store. You had to be there first when they came out or you wouldn't get one if there was a really popular album coming out.
Right. And it was super expensive. I mean, an album was, you know, $10 or whatever it was. And so it wasn't easy to be a DJ because you had to buy all of the equipment and then you had to buy all of the music.
And then you had to carry that shit.
Oh my gosh, I had so many milk crates.
I helped you carry many a milk crate.
Yes.
I did. Back in the day. That's true
friendship.
That's loyalty.
I'll carry
your
records. That's a down ass bitch.
And nowadays, anybody can be a DJ because you have a phone.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's an app that you can download on your phone.
Doesn't mean you're good though.
No, it doesn't. But
it makes it easier to mix the things.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas you had to like make the sliders go properly.
you don't need equipment anymore to be a DJ because if you have a phone or a laptop, you can DJ. All of the music is there. You have access to all music, which is wild.
Crazy.
Right? That you have access to all music.
And it doesn't skip.
No.
I watched and I told Dan about this earlier because it was National DJ yesterday. I went through and I started watching some like different DJs videos and I'm talking like turntable DJs doing all the tricks. And I watched this guy do this set and this guy is a current DJ. He's very popular and he played everything on vinyl. He did an hour long set and it was cool because what they used to do like now because you can set all your cue points on a computer. So if you like a particular piece of a song, you can mark it on the computer. And then you can loop just that one piece just like that quick because of the computer software. But back in the day, we used to have to mark it with a little piece of tape. So on the record itself. So if there was a particular hook or loop that you liked on a record, you would buy two copies of that record and you'd put a piece of tape in the spot. And then you would work the record back and forth by looking at the spot on the tape. And watching this and I watched this guy do this yesterday for an hour on all of these records and having to lift the records off and take it off the turntable and then put it down and being gentle with the records because you couldn't tow around the records because, like you said, they would get all scratched up or whatever. But I miss that. I missed it. I didn't realize I missed it until I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology is cool and everything that you can do now with being a DJ. But
would you ever go back to doing it?
No. That is long past me. But I'm kind of bummed because it's like I said, when I got into it, I didn't know any other DJs.
Yeah.
Right? It just wasn't something, you know, the only DJs that I knew were working DJs in the club.
Right.
And there was only a couple here and there. And now everybody does it. Everybody does it. But, Paris Hilton is a DJ.
Yeah, but well, but it does it doesn't mean that you're good. Just because you say you're a DJ doesn't necessarily mean you're great or that.
And I think part of it is watching the person do it. Like watching you spin was always fun.
Right.
I always had
Carson had moves. When he went to switch the record, his whole body shifted like this, and it was so cool to watch.
Right.
But
I love it though. Like watching my godfather do it is like that's really what I grew up like because he used to do like you know everybody's weddings, birthday parties, all this stuff, and watching him even do it like when we go out to whatever bar he's doing it at is fascinating. Just knowing how much he knows about music, you're kind of similar. Like you know BPMs, you know like which songs go together. Like I just think it's the coolest.
It's
the coolest job.
Mental memory bank that you have to
have
for that.
Yes, absolutely.
But then also, like, I do have respect for a lot of the kids today because they're learning how to kind of create their own versions of songs. You know, they're remixing songs on the fly.
Right.
Like, you really couldn't do that much with the technology back in the day. And now, I watched a video the other day of this guy called Scratch Bastard. And Yeah. And he's one of the world's best. And they use the computers and everything like that, but they still use the turntables integrated with the computer. So it's kind of a mixing of the both. And he and another guy did a remix of the Doobie Brothers song. Was it?
Listen to the Music?
It might have been Listen to the Music.
Come on now, tell me.
No, I think it's Listen to the Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, yeah, it's Listen to the Music.
Blackwater, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like they created a whole new song. And
it's crazy.
Like, wow, that was amazing.
To like be able to take requests and like you know still make everybody happy. You wanna play the floor fillers. You can't clear them up. It's not, you don't want a bathroom song.
I worked at a club one time and it was really kind of like the boot camp of music because it was like it was one of those clubs where you had to play everything. You know, we could play Biggie Smalls and then play Bob Seger.
Love. Like I love that stuff.
That's what they wanted. Yeah. You know, and you had to be able to mix them. You couldn't just, it wasn't just play them. You had to mix these songs.
Right.
And so you learned quickly, like, you know, Land of a Thousand Dancers. Remember that song?
Of course.
Is that Jake Isles' band that does that?
Who?
Jake Isles?
No.
I think the version we played was a Jake Isles version.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
No. Wilson Pickett.
Yeah, but you might be right.
I am right. Hang on.
Wasn't there a Jake Isles band version?
Shit, there is, and that's unfortunate. They shouldn't be there.
Yeah, that was the one we
played. They shouldn't be there.
No.
So I learned all these wild songs, which I think helped me down the road be a better DJ. So yesterday was National DJ Day. Love to the DJ.
Do you still have your two turntables?
I do.
Bring them out every once in a while for a Labor Day barbecue?
Yeah.
Let's throw a party, the four of us.
I still do parties once in a while. But I mostly get hired because of I'm the guy on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been asked quite a few times. Can you come DJ? And I'm like, no.
Give me the mic. I'll press play.
They're like, is this what you do for a living? I said, absolutely not. I sit in a chair and I'd be funny. That's what I do.
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't really just be called on-air personality at this point.
Oh, I had to change it because this happened a couple of times and I got to an event and they expected me to come bearing two turntables and a microphone. Mm-hmm. And they said, you were the DJ. I'm like,
what? When I first started my first job, I was working full time as a club DJ. Like that was my job. So I was working, you know, six nights
all
a week at different clubs.
Yeah.
And I was kind of the part time radio guy.
Right.
And I remember when I got that full time radio gig, like I consciously made a decision that I was I wanted to be on air more than I wanted to be a club DJ.
Yeah.
I just saw no future in it for me.
Right.
I saw more of a future in radio for what I wanted to do. And so I just kind of started to push my way away from it. When people would ask me, like, oh, you're the guy that works at a club. I'm like, no, I work at radio now.
Yeah, my cousin made a career out of being a DJ.
She's awesome.
Super, super successful at it.
Yes.
That's so
dope. She traveled internationally to perform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even now she's in her mid to late 40s probably at this point, and she works, like, she opened up a business because she was like, I don't want to be in the clubs till I'm 60.
That's the thing.
There comes a point you got to get out or that's that.
I see a lot of the people that I knew that were in the scene when I was, you know, younger, and now here they are years later and they're trying to figure out like what their next move is.
Right.
You know, you have to open a record label or you open a record store or you own a nightclub or you produce music.
Right.
Right. I think she produced a lot of music too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't know, by the way, Dan's cousin. It was like one of my all-time favorite DJ crushes when I was younger.
Yeah, she's
when you were younger?
Pretty popular down in Florida, actually.
You still ask about her.
DJ Baby Ann, the drum and bass queen. Look her up.
Any family party, Carson's like, was that Baby Ann there? I'm like, he's not going to faint on his cousin. Like,
no, did you want to FaceTime me while you were there, Dan?
No, and the funny story was, so when Kennedy and I worked in Memphis, we were working at this nightclub, and they started bringing in DJs every once in a while. And I was like, well, there's this guy in Florida, DJ Icy.
Which was
really good. Huh?
Which was wild.
Right. It was. And so.
Good old DJ Icy.
Huh?
Good old DJ Icy.
So we hired DJ Icy to come in. And what I didn't know was that he brought like two other DJs with him to open. And Baby Ann was one of them. So he shows up at the club. And he's like, oh, this is DJ Baby Ann. I was like, hi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey. Did you want to?
Oh, Lana. Yeah, that's my girlfriend. That's exactly, I think, how it happened in the VIP. Yeah, that's
pretty much.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, because our table was right behind the DJ booth, so you could see everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is all time.
Love to the DJ. All right, Annie, what you got?
So I want to talk about Olivia Rodrigo because I love her so much. So if you don't know, she's 17 years old. She starred in this little Disney Plus teeny bopper show called High School Musical, the series.
That's just a lot.
But it's so good. It's just like so corny. And like if you need a little fluff in your life, that's a show you watch. And her song went number one on the Billboard charts yesterday. And I just think that that's incredible. But the song Driver's License is all about teenage heartbreak. So I think that I need to know you guys' teenage heartbreak stories. I really want to go, like, when you listen to this song, Driver's License, who do you think of? Like, who are you in that 17-year-old driving in the car?
Oh.
What is the story?
You want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I didn't date in high school. I just, like hooked up with different guys or whatever, but I never was in a serious relationship in high school. But when I was, like, a freshman, sophomore, I loved this boy. Loved him. Lost my virginity to him. He was, like, the end-all, be-all for me. And I remember, like, walking. I think I went to the bathroom when we were, like, out drinking in the woods. And I came back, and he was kissing another girl. And I was just like, my life is over. I'll never love again. This is it for me. And so, like, when I hear that's obviously, like, you know, he's happy with a girlfriend now. He's great. We're good friends now, but it's when I hear that song, like that's all I think of. It's just like you're so dramatic and you thought you were going to be with this person.
Right?
Yes, absolutely devastated.
Mm. I was devastated by Lisa. And Lisa was my high school sweetheart. I was a senior. She was a sophomore. And she might have been a freshman. Now that I think about it. Sophomore or freshman. I can't remember.
Cradle robber. You've always been one.
Got a type.
I was like 17.
Dude, it doesn't
15.
Matter. It's all
yes.
We all did it.
So,
yes.
So Lisa and I dated, and we dated for a while. I was a virgin. She was a virgin. And we had talked about kind of.
Will you be the one?
Yes. Yes.
Will you be the one?
Yes.
You take my vehicle.
And. But she was hesitant to, and I was fine with that.
Right.
She said we just didn't. And we got in a fight. We broke up. And in a fit of rage, she went and slept with John.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
That asshole.
John with no H in his name.
Yeah.
Oh, ew. Hate him.
And I didn't know it. We got in a fight. We broke up. Like a week or something, like 2 weeks.
Right.
And then we made up and we got back together. And then she's like, so I have something to tell you.
Oh, knife through the heart.
And I was just, I was ruined. Yeah. I was, and that was the end of it.
I was going to say, did you stay with her?
No. We tried to work through it, but it was that.
And you can't unsee that.
No.
Yeah. And so, but there was still. Like
and that whole
drive,
special thing between the two of you is gone.
I would drive. And so I was really close with her family. So she had a sister who was a little bit older, who was friends with my brother since elementary school.
Right.
So the four of us were very tight. We hung out together a lot over the course of my junior and senior year. And I was close with her mom.
Yeah.
I was just always over there because before we dated, we were friends. So we all hung out together for a long time, a big part of those years in high school. And so then after we broke up, I would still ride by there. like just to see if she was there, who was there, was John there, was some other guy there. Yeah, I would absolutely ride by. Maybe a couple of times I did a yard job. You ever do a yard job?
No, Carson, I'm a grown up.
Oh.
Yeah, the boys in my high school did them. Yeah. They're garbage. They were garbage.
You would drive by in your car and then drop it, like I drove a stick shift, drop it in neutral, and then drop it in a lower gear and then spin the tires in the yard to tear up the front of the yard.
Are you joking?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I thought that was just something they did on that 70s show.
Yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
Yard jobs, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if in Florida.
No. We did them in Illinois.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because I'd never seen anybody do that.
That was Pat. I don't think that was part of our generation.
Because your parents raised you right.
Right.
Yeah. No. We were wild animals, Annie.
I'm sure like, people would like egg people's cars.
We were
and
like free-range children.
Like
we were set free when we were old enough to walk and said, go to school, have a good day. You know what I mean?
No, I was just a bitch. Like, I would pass his papers back in high school and I would just drop them.
Oh, my.
Like, I was that girl. I just I would do it to your face.
And to finish the story with Lisa, and Kennedy knows this, that she went on to become an internet porn star.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's the one.
We love her.
Yep. She ended up hooking up with another one of our friends from high school. They got married, had kids. They moved to California and made internet porn movies.
I mean, they're probably making good money.
I've never heard from her again.
Well, she's busy.
Yeah.
No, I think she's retired, you know, because she's now 50.
Yeah. The market dried up.
Yeah. Yeah. I still talk to her sister.
That's
nice. Like, all the time. We're friends on Facebook. Yeah.
Lisa. John.
So sophomore year,
yeah.
I sort of took a turn and made friends with the Baptists. I went to church like twice a week. Like. Oh. I started hanging out with this group of people.
Okay.
I guess maybe I was looking for something that I didn't have in my own family. I don't know. Most of their parents were still married. Like, shit like that. So there was this boy. His name was Chuck Thompson. And he was tall, and he was in show choir with me, and he could sing, and he was in all the musicals. And I don't know. We dated for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Like, in my years, you dated. You didn't hook up. You dated.
Right.
So, and then, you know, the day comes that he's like, well, this isn't fun anymore. Like, he wanted to, like, drink for the first time, and so I got them alcohol. And then, you know, I think he had a crisis of faith.
Yeah.
And was like, you know, and then he broke up with me. And my best friend Gwen at the time was like, well, you know, he's just really a good Christian. And, well.
Jesus won't let you do nothing fun.
And I went home, and I just sobbed and sobbed. And my mom came in, and she's like, are you okay? And I was losing it. And later. Much later, I was in my mom's room, and for some reason or another, I found a journal she was writing.
Yeah.
And in it that day, she was like, she was so upset. I didn't know what to do with her. I don't know if I'm going to get through her teenage years.
Oh, that's so good.
Dan?
I was probably 18 at this point because I had no game in high school. Like, zilch. I was off doing other stuff. I was a troubled kid.
You wildin'.
So at this point, I'm going to not use anybody's names because everyone I know still lives here.
No problem.
Retweet, Daniel.
Everyone I've ever met lives within a 30-mile radius of this radio station.
That is crazy.
Yep.
But we were all kind of, we had like a large friend group. We're all big-time partiers.
Yeah.
So you kind of attract what you put out into the world, so the people who would hang out with us were also big-time partiers because well-adjusted people couldn't be around us more than, like, a day.
Yeah.
So a lot of the girls we got were also kind of into the wrong stuff, just like I was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she was dating one of my friends, and she was a couple years younger than all of us. Like, I was 18, she was probably 16, something like that. And she was dating him, and then right as they broke up, she slept with me, which I felt shitty about later.
Right.
For doing
in the
that.
Moment.
In the moment, yeah. And then not long, and then we kind of started dating, even though I knew I shouldn't really date her. Because, like, she's
the whole
clearly,
switch up.
She's a little experienced for 16, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I was new, and I liked her. So we dated for, like, a little bit, and then she ended up also sleeping with one of my friends, because duh, that's how this shit works.
Yes.
So do it, just, if it does it with you, she'll do it to you.
She's loving the crew. I mean,
does it with you, she'll do it to you. Oh, that's awful.
Dan, there's a song on Morgan Wallen's album called Somebody's Problem. Yeah. Have you heard that song?
It's so good. And Somebody's Problem is about to be mine.
Yeah. He talks about this girl. Who is that girl?
So yeah, it was after a party, and I think she ended up leaving with him and not me, so we broke up. And then she tried to get back with me. She would get drunk and sing Kiss Me Through the Phone from Soldier Boy and call
Stop
me.
It. Are you kidding
and
me?
And I would always be like, no, go the fuck away. Like, we're not dating anymore.
She on my phone.
And I was, for like how insignificant it was, really, it was like a month of the time, but I was upset about it for a while.
Absolutely.
And now looking back, like, how fucking stupid
it's crazy.
Is that? To, like, that bothered you.
But that's what it is.
Yeah. It's what mattered then.
So that was probably the first time
that's amazing.
That I felt teenage heartbreak.
Amazing.
The angst of it all.
Oh, I miss it.
I still remember her drunk calling me saying, kiss me through the phone.
That's an all-time.
God, that's amazing.
2008 is a weird
I would have been like, yes, whatever you need. I'm back with you. Continue singing.
All right, Dan, what you got?
Let's talk about millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Powerball got hit last night, which was like $730 million or something. Mm-hmm. One person in Maryland could be very happy. Mm-hmm. But the Mega Millions is still out there, and it's got to be like close to a billion at this point.
Yeah.
So I have a couple questions. I feel like people who don't, like, I never play the lottery.
Yeah.
But once it gets to like $600 million, everybody just starts to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's part of the fun.
So if you hit, let's do the fantasy thing, a couple questions. Would you quit your job? What would you do with it? And do you think money can make you happy?
Ooh. I'll go first.
Okay.
Yes. Question number one. I would give a whole bunch to you guys. I would pay off all my bills. I would pay off all my sister's bills. And then I would disappear. I would have a private jet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Poof. A page?
Casper. And what was my third?
Would make you happy?
No. But I will be in lovely places being unhappy, and that's fine.
I would.
I said what I said.
I would not quit my job. I'm one of those weird people.
You wake up at 4 a.m. every day with $1 billion.
I love this job.
I love this job too. But I'd be ready to not wake up anymore.
I could never not work. I'm not built like that. I can't do it.
But you could find other ways to.
I can't do it.
Like do some charity shit. There's other ways you could fill your day.
Get you a piece of machinery and we could do the show anywhere.
That's true. I mean, I'd like to be in St. Thomas doing the show, if we're being honest. I would pay off all my student loans. I would give my parents literally everything that they needed because they've given me everything. And I would like to buy homes. I want to have a home in St. Augustine. I want to have a home here. I want to have a home in California. I'd want to live on an island. Like, I just want a place to stay when I go these places. And no, money doesn't make you happy.
This is hard because I have a son and I don't want him to become a Delta Bravo, right?
And with that amount of money, it's almost impossible not to become a dickhead.
That's a different thing to think about,
right,
isn't it?
So, you know, the first thing you would think about is taking care of your friends and family first. Mm-hmm. You would do that.
But where does it stop?
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.